Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host.
Hello, callers and listeners on Facebook and Twitter. This is Pastor Teresa, and we'd like to welcome you to Share Talk. We took a break for a minute, and we're back live and ready to minister to all the women, the sisters, the wives out there, and wives-to-be. Tonight, we have an awesome segment. As you all know, this Share Talk has been designed to minister to the hearts of women, Christian women, that understanding that the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. And tonight, with my co-host, Lady Swinton, we believe that we have some information that we can share with you to make your lives just a little bit better as we're trying to be more effective and women as wives in a wisdom way. So tonight, Lady Swinton, are you there, sister?
I am here, Pastor Teresa. Good evening.
Good evening. We're so excited, woman of God. We took a minute. We took a break. You know, our schedules got so busy, and we had to not do the show last week, and I had another show that I could not do. I want to think it was the team's show I could not do because of the schedule. But I truly believe that we have something awesome tonight to share with the ladies. What about you?
I am ready. I am excited about what God is going to do on tonight. I am definitely ready.
Amen. And I look at the lines is popping them off. I guess y'all missed us, so we miss you too. We're going to go ahead and start with prayer, and then we'll go right into the segment. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your anointing destroys the yoke, God. And we ask you right now to come in to this show on today. God, anoint these lips. Anoint Lady Swinton's lips right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that we say, God, is coming out your heart. It's coming out the wisdom of you and the knowledge of you and your word, God. We ask you right now, God, touch every listener, touch every person that's on the line, on through Facebook, through Twitter, and calling in. We ask you right now, God, touch them right now in a mighty way. Touch the show. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, tonight, the seven deadly ways that wives injure their husbands without knowing it. This topic was given based on an individual that called in, and they followed up with us. And I did some research, and there's some awesome information out there. But we're going to, like, tag team, and we're going to build upon some research, the information that we received. And we truly believe that it's going to help you today. I would like to start off with Lady Swiss and talking about even though we said seven deadly ways that wives injure husbands, there are other ways that wives injure their husbands. But the seven deadly ways that wives injure their husband without knowing it. I think that we have passed the place where that word submissive, oh my God, it is just poison in the ears of women. We don't like to hear that word because I truly believe that the word has been described in a wrong manner. And then when you go back and really read what submissive is and understand what the word means, you'll get a better understanding because it's not only wives should submit to their husband, but the Bible talks about that with the husband, with their wives. But I don't think we point that out. I think we point out the negative part of submission. But tonight, I truly believe that we're going to share some awesome information with the listeners on tonight. So, Lady Swinson, when you think about can a wife, I just want to ask this question. It's not on our sheet. It's not, you know, I do stuff off the cuff. But how can a wife outside this deadly, seven deadly things, how can a wife hurt a husband? You know, we hear so much about men hurting the woman. How can a wife hurt the husband? What that look like?
Ooh, it can look very ugly. It can appear on the surface, and it can be very deep. Just from experience, Pastor Teresa, and just, you know, personal experience and in just, you know, counseling married couples, you know, listening to what the husbands and the wives say, I would say that other than the seven deadly ways that we'll talk about in a minute, that a wife can damage her husband or hurt her husband, is definitely just not submitting, lack of trust from, you know, her past issues in her previous relationships, you know, just the inability to trust her husband, you know, just her level of self-esteem, not being confident, not, you know, having an issue with her self-esteem and just really, you know, nagging him on little things that, you know, that bother her based on previous relationships. There are so many different ways, believe it or not, that we can damage our husbands unknowingly. And a lot of it can come from just us being not knowing who we are and just not knowing that submitting to our husbands and, you know, undergirding our husbands is very vital. It's very vital to our marriages.
Yeah, I agree. And as you look at the summary that I gave put out there, it says that this is a harsh reality that goes untouched in so many different ways. And I just want to stay right there for a minute. And I want to talk about, let's dialogue about, why is these subjects with wives hurting our husband? Why do you think it goes untouched?
Because a lot of us, a lot of times we tend to, when we run into issues or run into problems or situations, touchy situations, a lot of times naturally we tend to stray away from those things. You know, we try to put on a facade that, you know, it's okay. We brush it under the rug. We touch it on the surface and never get to the root of the problem. So a lot of times they go untouched because we feel that if we bother it, if we touch it, it's just like an open wound. If you touch an open wound, a sore or a cut or something, if you touch it, it's going to hurt. And a lot of times we don't want to deal with the hurt. We want to stray away from anything that's going to cause more hurt or more damage. So I think that's why it goes untouched a lot of times. Looking at it and just thinking that it's just going to go away when we all know, you know, from experience that it's not going to go away. Those things are going to continue to resurface until you get to the root of it.
Correct. You are absolutely correct. But I also want to add to that. I think, too, Lady Swinson, that I think as women, and I could speak for myself and just like you, counseling women, counseling wives, that we don't really think men go through stuff like that. They don't get they macho. The little boy in them that, you know, they so selfish or whatever we call them, whatever we say about them. We don't think we hurt them in that way, like a woman get hurt. You know, I feel like we are more emotional. So because we're more emotional, we just assume that men is not emotional, which they are. Now, you do have some men that is way emotional than women, and it takes the unnatural side of the emotions that a man's supposed to have. It takes the unnatural side. However, what I sense and what I see, and a lot of women think I'm so strong on the women and especially wives, because I truly believe that you can help your husband be who he needs to be, but you have to use wisdom. You just can't say, I know God put me on your side because you couldn't do it by yourself. I'm not talking about that. We got to use words. You got to use wisdom, and we're going to talk about the wisdom, how do that look. But the one thing I see, ladies, Winston, is that we don't think men go through that. We don't think men have feelings. We can say what we want to say to a man, but a man cannot say anything they want to say to us.
Wow.
We can actually hit below the belt, but you don't want them to hit below the belt because, of course, when you come into this marriage, you should be strong. And because we look at our husband as strong, and when we think about strong, I think about strength. But I learned something, Lady Swinson. Men have feelings too.
Unfortunate
men don't get the structure, and you will hear this a lot, ladies, as we talk about this, and you're going to hear some repetitive stuff because it's a very true statement. Men go through things too. Men have feelings too. Men, unfortunate, they don't get trained like women get trained. And unfortunately, just like you said earlier, that we bring a lot of things in a relationship, but so do a man too. And just because he's the one known to be running around with a different woman, it's just it just can't be. He can have feelings.
Right,
it can't
absolutely.
Be that he can get hurt. It can't be that, oh, I touch his feeling, child boo. He's a man, baby. He get over it. But that's not true. And I truly believe just listen to women and then listen to men. I have a lot of men come to me and talk to me about their wives or just talk about relationship, period. And it's amazing what they say about women. It's amazing their take on women with our strong self. And some of it is given, is granted, and some of it is far-fetched. But however, the majority of this, when I look back and I took a back seat and come out of myself, I need you to hear me and I need you to check me. I come out of myself and really look at women, it's a real trail.
Yes,
girl.
We are.
Girl, please. I said, I don't know about if I was a man, I don't know if I would want to be married to a woman. Now, I wouldn't want to be married to another man. But when you're dealing with the emotion of a woman, her ability to switch at any moment, her ability to go from one extreme to another, the ability to the things that we do in the wrong perspective, in the wrong manner, we are something to deal with.
Amen. Amen, we are.
We're more slicker than men. Oh, my God, we'll talk about that tonight because that's not our subject. But my point is, lady, I want to grab your attention. I want to grab something for you because if we're going to have successful, healthy marriages, how we doing things right now, you need to change that. Because I guarantee you, majority of you on here, especially with the inbox messages and the texts and the emails I'm getting, you're repetitively doing stuff, but you're not changing your ways. So guess what? You get the same result. You get the
Absolutely.
Same result. You want different results, but you're doing the same thing. Now, listen to this. Understand these issues can be addressed, and it's very obvious. We could talk about all men all day long. But this show, this topic, is not talking about what a man doing to us. We're talking about what we do to our husband, what we do with what we do to our man of God, what we do with the priest and the king that's in our house. What do we do and how we do things and how it turns around and effectively hurt him and hurt his pride, hurt his ego, because, you know, men got ego. You know that, right? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Jesus, we ain't going to talk about that, sister. But men got egos, and so a woman can tear a man down with what she says versus what she do.
Mm-hmm.
My husband said this, and we're going to go into a little bit more of the questioning. My husband said this, Lady Swinson, it was powerful. He told me, he said, a man will leave a woman that loves him and run to a woman that respects him.
Absolutely.
I said, you got to be kidding. And I said, why is that, honey? And she said, because a man, that's what a man craves. He craves for respect.
Mm-hmm.
He craves to be up front. He craves to be the head of the house. But if he feels like that he's not, he will go to a hussy, a woman, that will be lying to him, you know, giving him a fantasy that she loves him and all this kind of stuff, and so submissive. Can I be real with you? I remember when I was, before I got saved, and especially living saved, I promise you, and I was sleeping around, and I was having a relationship of married men. And I could understand the conversation they used to have with me about their wives. I need you to hear it. Yes, I said it. Yes, I'm sure I am. And it's a true fact what they say. And I'm a wife now, and I use a lot of information that I got back then. I'm actually telling you the truth. Can I be real with you?
Mm-hmm.
I use a lot of information that I was able to gain during that period of time to learn and to know what to do and what not to do. Because it's crazy. I didn't do it on purpose. But it's crazy how the information that I received from different males, and it all sounded like. It sounds so similar. Not to say they don't got issues, because I'm pretty sure you do. And if you're tapping out, that means you got more issues than the person at home. But I always say this, but I would not give the person the paint to write with. In other words, people going to talk, you're going to have problems, but I'm not going to give the ammunition to use against me. So in other
Absolutely.
Words, what I'm saying also is this, that there are so many things we can learn, the ways of a woman how she should treat her husband and how to address issues, even when they're touchy issues, when they're things that you need to discuss with your husband that he's not doing or whatever. There's a way that we can do that. So we're going to go into our questioning. Ladies, and go from here. So we're talking about, I want to give you a theme scripture on tonight, and I want you to think about this. It says Proverbs 14. It says, a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. I need to read that again.
Yes, ma'am.
A wise woman builds a house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. I want you to let that stick with you tonight. I want you to get that in your memory bank. And I know you heard it before because you're Christian women, and I know you go to church on a consistent basis, and I know you're reading your word, but I want you to take that and program in your mind, and I want you to download it in your spirit. And I want you to hold on that while we're going through this segment tonight. Ladies Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some things that you feel. Well, let's go to our first point question. It says, "Why does being honest injures my husband? Why does it being honest with my husband injures him?"
Well, I would say that being honest with our husbands can injure him because we don't know how to portray what we really need to say to him. Our words, it says a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman plucks it down. So then if we're not using wisdom in how we deal with our husbands or how we talk to our husbands to share the things that, you know, we don't like or that we notice or we see about him that can be different, if we're not saying it with words that are filled with grace, but words that are just going to tear him down, then that's going to injure him. That's going to injure him. And I say that because, you know, growing up and in the beginning of my marriage, I was not a wise woman. I was a woman who lacked wisdom. And I saw things, I noticed things that aggravated me, that got on my nerves, and I just came out and said it because that was what I wanted to do. That was, you know, all I knew how to do. I didn't know how to choose words wisely back then. I didn't know that it could possibly injure him the way that I was saying it. And so then that's how we come across, you know, wrongly, and that's how we injure our mates. Not sometimes intentionally, but just because we don't know how. We don't know how to say it. We don't know how to have our words to be seasoned with grace, that they're ministered to the hearer, in other words. You know, So I would say that that's how we injure them, not intentionally that we do. We just don't know how. And I see that a lot with women today. You know, they just lash out. They just come across strong, and they come across harsh. And, you know, all of these things are the things that tear a man down. So we just have to use wisdom.
But that's good, and that's a good point, ladies, because we haven't been taught, and I truly believe that, ladies, of you on the line and a lot of you that have daughters, your job, while you're learning, because some of you say, well, I never was taught. That's not what I saw. I didn't have a pattern. I got you. I got you on that. However, I truly believe now while you're learning, pay attention that you're teaching while you're learning. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
That was good there.
Absolutely.
You're teaching while you're learning. So you want to pay, you want to really be mindful of that, because I realize I have four girls, and I'm telling you, I'm being honest, not being truthful. I didn't see a good pattern. I had a woman in mind that I was very in contact with over, you know, some years ago, over 14 years, and I'm telling you, and I'm not mentioning her name or nothing like that, I watched her for years, and she used to say she was a submissive wife. I didn't see that. That's not what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a woman that always argued, always fussy, always had something to say, didn't know how to deliver a message. And, of course, I couldn't tell her that because she knew she was to me. But when I look back on it, I say, gosh, she's so fussy. You know, she's so, you know, every little thing. You could be in a business meeting. You could be in a ministry meeting. And when she comes off, there's times she was come off real soft. But the majority of the time, her delivery was so strong. And I should have been.
Absolutely.
It's amazing when I used to see him, her husband, interact with her. He used to try to tailor her down all the time. And Lord knows, don't let it be something they were disagreeing about. They'll disagree in front of people. I'm like, really? Am I watching a match here? And
yeah,
I'm like, oh, my God.
That's detrimental.
Yeah, it's very. And I wasn't as seasoned as her, and she was in her marriage for a long time, and I knew not to do that. I knew that is not one of the attributes I want to take away from being under her leadership. I didn't want to take that. I said, because I knew enough, that don't look right. That just don't look right. But my point is this. I did not have a pattern, too. But what I did do, I took the lessons, what I should not do, and then I prayed to God and asked God what I should do.
Absolutely.
I didn't have a pattern. There was nothing before me. There was no example of what I should and should not do. But there's something. I should be the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, if you rely on the Holy Ghost and you listen and you build your relationship with God, the Holy Ghost will tell you some things that man can't tell you.
Absolutely.
But you have to have a relationship with God. So you're absolutely right. Why does being honest with our husband interest them? It's because actually it's our delivery. But there's another side of because we don't know. Some of us, we know exactly what we're doing.
I watch
women talk to their husband and their eyes are top of their head and they like, or their husband look away and their eyes are like, watch this. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what we do? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he does not see you, the seeds that you're sowing into that relationship in the spirit realm, here the enemy watching you, seeing what you're doing. Other people are seeing what you're doing. Your children are seeing what you're doing. And you think that's cool. Mm-hmm. So let's dialogue about that, because there are a percentage out there, Lady Swenson, that women, we know what we're doing. We know we're hitting below the belt. We know that we're asking too many questions. We know that we're saying we're being very sarcastic. We know this, but we choose to do that, and why, I don't know. And that's the part I think a lot of women don't realize what it does to a man. They realize they get on his nerves. But they don't realize you're damaging him.
Absolutely.
That's a part. We know that gets on their nerves, but we don't know it damaged them. Do you hear what I'm saying? How do you feel about that, Sister Lady Swenson?
I totally agree, and I agree because I've been there as well, Lady Burton, Pastor Burton, because there again, like you said, there's two sides to it. We do things by either intentional or unintentional. And there's two sides to the coin. We can do it intentionally to get back at somebody. And a lot of times I believe that women that I've seen, you know, that we've counseled or that we've ministered to, I've seen it both sides as well. And sometimes you can pick up that strong spirit that I'm just going to say this because, you know, this is how I feel and this is how I get back at him. So, you know, we can have that. We can have that attitude, that get back spirit. You know, that's not godly. Mm-hmm. Neither is it wise.
No.
But we you know, I've done that as well. Because if you hurt me, then I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna hurt you back. So, you know, we have that, and that is bound in the heart of a lot of women today too, because they've been wounded, they've been hurt, and then because they don't have the wisdom of God, they don't know how to deal with that. So then if, you know, they're in a relationship, if that's all they've been dealt, then that's all they're going to dish out. So, you know, we have to seek God. You know, we have to seek the wisdom of God. We have to seek, you know, scripture, you know, look up, research scripture that help us, you know, do things differently. Because I heard you say earlier that if we keep doing the same thing, but we've not made any changes, we're going to always get the same result. So then if you're sick of the results that you're getting, then you need to seek wisdom. You need to seek a different way to do it. And a lot of times I also feel today that women are so busy that they're not seeking wise counsel and they're not seeking the wisdom of God. They don't have a relationship with God that they can seek God and get an understanding of how to deal with these issues, these small foxes that's spoiling the vine and putting out these small fires. They don't have to be big. Put them out at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe that we're taking the time to do that.
I'm absolutely correct, and I'm going to say just a little bit on this question. Because if we, and I say this to the ladies that I minister to and my mentees, and they get, I know I get on their nerves with it, if we truly are not seeking, because guess what? Our marriage is going to go through. We talked about stormproof last yesterday in our ministry, and you're going to go through, either you're going through a storm, you're leaving a storm, or you're leaving a storm, you're going through a storm, or you just left a storm. Either way it goes, you're going through something. And
absolutely,
that's going to hit any marriage. I don't care what marriage you have, it's going to hit your house. But it's not the storm that really makes the difference. It's how you handle what you go through makes the difference. And I truly believe there's always lessons learned through any situation. But it's something, we talked about two types of storms. We talked about is a storm, things that happen you have no control of. That's a general storm. Then we talk about the self-inflicted storm that you do something. Your storm is a result of what a decision you made or what you said. So you're going through this storm because you self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted.
It's
because of something you did or did not do created this storm. But then somebody else may be going through a general storm. That's something, somebody gets sick. That's something couldn't be prevented. That's nothing been done on your behalf that made this happen to yourself. But I actually seen where a general storm turns into a self-inflicted storm. Why? How is that possible? Because you took something that was general, something you had no control over, and because you didn't know how to handle that storm, now you do some things and say some things, now it's self-inflicted. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, you're absolutely right. We need to be careful with how we deliver our messages. We need to be very mindful of what we say and actually seek wisdom, wise counsel, you know, especially these young women. These young women, something serious, baby. These young women don't have no fiber in them.
I'm with you. My strength.
I get young women, I'm like, oh, I ain't dealing with that. I ain't tolerate. Oh, I'm like, oh, okay. Baby, you ain't going to be there alone.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, they come in, well, I ain't going to do this, and I ain't going to do that, and I ain't going to do this, and they ain't going to say nothing. I'm like, wow, really?
Wow, God.
I said, this generation right here, that's why we're going to have so. You talk about we got an increase in divorce. It's going to be another wave.
My God.
People, I don't know if they're going to get married because these new generations, they are already coming in. They have no backbone. They have no tolerance. And that's something you shouldn't tolerate. But I'm talking about really draws on the floor, really?
Mm? Wow.
You still complaining about draws on the floor? And you've been married 2 years? 3 years? Really?
Mm.
You know, I'm saying, like, and I'm really not trying to be sarcastic, ladies, and I hear you. I got some inbox messages. Okay. But I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But what I want to say to you is this. If you're talking about you want a healthy marriage, a marriage that's going to last, you got to change your mindset. Let's go to the next question. Why doesn't he get it? How do I repair the injuries? Okay, that's a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't he get it? Okay, and how do I repair the injury?
Okay.
Let's deal with part one.
Okay.
Yeah, answer that. Why doesn't he get it?
Well, first of all, you mentioned earlier that men are egotistical. Men are, you know, they're prideful, but they're also emotional. I did a little bit of research, and I found out that the heart is the seat of our emotions. And what's in the heart of a man or a woman is portrayed via either through their words or through their actions. A man don't get it a lot of times because of either what's in their heart, what has happened in their past, or how we're delivering, how we have treated him in the past. If you have been in constant fights or constant arguments, constant battles with your husband, they gonna shut you out. When you begin to open your mouth, if your words are not already seasoned, if they are still the same, the way you communicated in the past, you already shut down. He's not going to get it. He's already tuned you out. He's already, you know, he's watching the TV, ears shut down. He owns something else. So, no, he's not going to get it because we're still using our same ways of communicating. If our ways of communicating change, we might get somewhere.
I believe that.
And I say that because I'm just talking from experience, because I've used to be one of those that I always wanted to be heard. I wanted him to hear what I was saying. I come home, I want him to understand and know what I went through my day, and, you know, never asked him how his day went. You know, there's so many different levels to this thing, Pastor Teresa, but it's just our way of communicating. You know, if I come across the same way, he already saying, oh, well, I know what this finna go. I know how this conversation finna go. You know, so he's going to already automatically just shut me out, shut me down, and, you know, yeah, I heard you, but really didn't hear me. So, no, they're not going to get it, because we're still delivering in the same way, same tone. I found something else, Pastor Teresa, that I wanted to share, and it says that our attitudes are critical to effective communication. And it says that we could be totally right. We can have the right attitude. I mean, we can be totally right in what we want to say, but the way we deliver the message is what kill it. So
absolutely. I totally agree with that.
It's dead. It's dead in the water.
Yeah. And, you know, and the sad thing about it, I said this yesterday, I said it's so sad that if we don't use wisdom when we talk to our husbands, and but we can use wisdom to talk to our boss. Hello, somebody.
Oh, boy. Oh,
God.
Now, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Ooh, yeah, and that's because there's an issue there. There's a root there that's not been dealt with.
Absolutely, and I understand. Don't get me twisted. Yes, you sleep with him. Yes, you go to bed with him. Yes, he's in your house, and yes, you deal with him more than you may deal with your boss. But it's almost the same hours. But I'm not gonna go there. But at the same time, your boss do stuff too. But you don't have to have an intimate relationship with him. I got that.
Right.
I'm not taking away what men do. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, how are we going to be able to do that? I told a wife the other day, I said, listen to this, sweetheart. I want you to really pay attention to me. I'm not ministering to your husband because he's not the one I'm talking to.
Right.
So I can't discipline him or correct him through you. I will only correct and discipline you because I'm talking to you. Now, if I was talking to him, I may be having a different, you know, things to say. If I was talking
absolutely
to you both, you both would hear what I have to say. So don't never think, so it seems like I'm very hard on wives, and it's not that, but I can't correct your husband through you. So I'm not going to jump on your bagwagon about your husband because I know what you're dealing with. I got that. But how can I help you to make the situation better? How can I help you with the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, with the word of God to get you past that place and start looking at his actions and see where y'all going? Because if you get stuck there, you're going to stay there and you will never get there. Not only am I trying to get that, I'm trying to get you past this place so you understand that not only you in a in a learning spot, you also teaching your daughter. You're teaching your sons at the same time. So I have to do double dual duties. I have to say, hey, listen here, I got you don't got it. I got you upset. I got you that you're mad. I got that. But I need you to understand that your delivery or whatever you're doing, you got to use wisdom because not only you're learning, but you're teaching at the same time.
Right, exactly.
And if I had, you know, if I had this information a little bit earlier in my marriage, I caught it at the right time, so I didn't stay that long in that place. Then a lot of mistakes I made, I wouldn't have made them. But I didn't stay. I wasn't being still enough. I wasn't seeking God's face enough. Because when I did stop seeking him, I still didn't have nobody teach me. And guess what happened? The Holy Ghost taught me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if I was in the place where I needed to be at the time when I got married, the Holy Ghost would have told me the same thing that he told me 2 years later. He would have told me. But because I was so busy, and I was stubborn, and I was mad, and I was angry, and I just felt like he should know all this stuff when we got married. He should have came in a relationship with stability. He should have came in a relationship knowing how to budget. He should have came in a relationship knowing some stuff and stopped giving it this false. I guess I thought that just told me something about myself. I didn't pay attention to something.
Uh-oh.
What I'm saying is, in my beginning, I was upset about the little small things that my husband didn't know how to do, and I made those things. And I'm not saying it was really small, because it was magnified. There was big stuff, but I magnified it even the more. So, yes,
amen.
Right. So you're absolutely right. Why he doesn't get it is because we need to be careful that our delivery, what are we communicating with him, how we communicate, and if you're going back on the very thing, like the woman of God said, you could be saying the right stuff in the wrong way and shut it all down. Okay, yes. Let's move to a question, a part two to that question. How do I repair the injury?
Mm.
How do I repair the injury?
Okay, so this is what I meditating and thinking about that to Pastor Teresa, and even, you know, reflecting back on issues and situations that were personal to our marriage, we have to give it time. Because men don't heal like, I mean, men, we are emotional. Men have emotions, but they're not as emotional as us. Because they have egos, they have pride, they have all of these things, men don't get over hurt as easy as women. So we have to give them time. We can't keep nagging them. We can't keep begging them. We can't keep focusing on the fact that I hurt him, now I need to hurt him and fix it. We got to give it time. And in doing that, we have to focus first on us. You know, God, I messed up. It was my words. It was what I did that caused the hurt, that injured my husband. Now, God, help me to understand how not to do it again. You God, help me to understand how I am to grow in grace and how I'm to use wisdom in, you know, future instances. And, you know, just give it some time. Time is the essence. It heals all wounds, you know, so we have to give it time. We have to be prayerful. We have to be mindful of our actions. And, you know, like I said earlier, don't continue to do the same things again. Seek other ways. Seek other ways to deal with it. I also said that I think I said that we have to give them time to recover. That's one of the biggest, because men, all they're going to need time. Men are just, they're going to process things differently. They're not going to process it the same way, so they're going to process things differently, and that process may take a little longer than ours. So time, I would say, is one of the biggest factors that we need to look at, and just, you know, praying and seeking God, you know, concerning us and ways to help restore our husband's trust in us. Because once you kill a husband, this is something my mom and them used to always tell us, once you kill a your husband's trust, his trust in you, his confidence, it's going to take some time, baby, to rebuild that. So, you know, you just got to be very mindful, because it's going to take them some time to get over it.
Yeah. And you have to look at women. I think our mannerism and our ways are just, we could just get, you know, even in our past, we will take a look and keep on ticking. So that goes to show you, even in relationship, our husbands can hurt us, and yet it hurts, and we're emotional. But once he says he's sorry, we'll hold on to it maybe a couple of days. But after that, we're done with it.
We are
You know, I'm a little bit different. We're over it. But a man, oh, my God, his mood swings are still there. It may be a month before you see, you know, the progress of, okay, I said I'm sorry. And that's what I was going to say is, once you say you're sorry, don't walk in false guilt. Don't walk in a condemnation. Don't walk in that. Because once when we repent to God, when we repent, your sins are forgiven. So it's not that your husband hasn't forgiven you. It's not that. It is the fact of now you got to give him time to process everything. Because once we attack his ego, once we attack his pride, they hold their pride and ego. Oh, my God. Jesus. I mean, they something serious about that. But that goes to show you, that's the reason why we got to be very so careful and be mindful what we say and what we do. Because when we tear our husbands down, I'm telling you, I got to say this. It's a woman out there. I mean, literally, there's women, just like angels, have been dispatched to protect us and guide us and be there on our side. But there's women that the enemy uses, that they're on an assignment of the Satan, and they're just waiting for you to just tear your husband out. They're waiting. Not to say your husband don't have a responsibility to say no and how to, you know, come back that with the word of God. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this, that we can't push our husband out there uncovered. What do I look like, Pastor Teresa? Well, if you uncover him by tearing him down, do understand there's another woman that's out there ready to build him up.
Absolutely.
He goes to work. And don't let him be a pastor. Oh, baby. Okay. I'm not going to
go there. No.
Baby. But he goes to work and he got to be around with all these different women. And I'm not trying to put insecurities in you. I need you to use wisdom. You got to know the battle that you're fighting. The reason why we lose the war is because we don't have no strategies. We don't know our opponent. We do not know the people that we're fighting against. So you're going there blind. You don't know the heavyweights they got. You don't know the secret weapons. You don't know that. I'm trying to give you some secret weapons. I'm trying to tell you something that the enemy don't want you to know. And I know you said you know this, but I don't really think you know this. Because if we really knew what we say we know, then some of the things that we do, we would not do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy is bad enough to, there's so many things right now attacking our marriages. Don't let it be an inside job. Ooh, that was good.
Mm.
I'm about to give myself an offering. Good God, sister. You know that your marriage is going to go through, but don't let it be an inside job.
Amen.
Don't let you be the reason. Don't let, you know, if he's going to do some things, I'm not talking about that. But how you handle it, how you process what you say back to your husband, how you communicate back to your husband, it is so important because the enemy is out there, but he is out there to kill, steal, and destroy by any means necessary. However he can take you down, however he can take your husband down, however he's going to take your family down, do not think the devil is sitting back watching you grow and be, you know, being with your husband ain't going to bother you. You better wake up and smell some coffee.
Yes, ma'am.
And use some wisdom. So let's go to the next one. I ain't gonna stay that long. Here we go. How can I better communicate my feelings to my husband? How? I need you to give us a how this looks, Lady Swinson. How can I better communicate my feelings to my husband? How can I better communicate with him?
Well, I think it comes to Pastor Teresa with, first of all, you knowing your husband. The Bible talks about how a man, how the husband is to deal with the woman as a weaker vessel, or that we're to study, though, he's to study us. I think we too need to study our husbands, and I say that because,
good.
You know, recently, you know, when I first got married, I didn't know that it was important for me to know my husband ins and outs, his weaknesses, his strengths, his likes, his dislikes. You know, I didn't understand all of that. I just went into it and thought marriage was just, you know, marriage. We go to bed, we do what we do as married couples, and we go on about our life. But there's so much more involved, and I think we have to study our husbands just as much as they have to study us. I know my husband's weaknesses. I know his strengths. I know his likes, his dislikes. I know what ticks him off. I know, you know, what turns him on. So I think that all of that has a part to play in that. And we just have to really, I'll say this, that when my husband was working, it was he had a very stressful job. And when he used to come home, he was overwhelmed by work. You know, he was a supervisor. He had to deal with a lot of attitudes. He had to deal with a lot of problems. So when he came home, he didn't want to have to deal with problems, but we had them. And because I didn't understand that, you know, I couldn't just dove in, Tommy walk in the door with my problems and what we had going on and this got to be paid and this got to be done and da-da-da-da-da, that can send him over the cliff. So it was not until we had so many fires and so many conflicts with me not knowing the timing of when to talk to my husband, you know, the attitude or the mood that he's in when he come home, that's very important. We have to study his mood swings. We have to know when he's in the right mood and when he don't want to be bothered. You know, all of these, it's almost like we have to be psychologists. We have to know, you know, the right times, and it's work. It take work, but it's all a part of, you know, proper communication. And I just think it's very important that we study them. We know, you know, the timing and when and what to say to our husbands is very vital and important.
Absolutely. And I would like to add with that, too, Lady Swinson. So we talk about the question, how can I better communicate my feelings to my husband? And this is how it goes. I tell wives all the time, I said, don't address stuff when everything's going chaotic. Don't address
it.
Mm-mm. That's the wrong time. If it's pressure already on you or on him, this is the wrong time to add another issue, you know, how you feel. Because keep in mind, men internalize things a little bit totally different than women. Because they are problem solvers, and we got a lot of problem solving women because we've been made up like that because we've been dropped so many times. So, but that never was our general how we supposed to be. Men are problem solvers. Unfortunate because of life and circumstances, we become problem solvers too. So men, they automatically want to solve the problem. But I have learned through experience and just listening and counseling women, men, when they don't know how to solve, they get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They get frustrated.
They do.
And I need you to catch this. When men get frustrated, they got to have an outlet. And they have different outlets. And unfortunately, when you marry a man that is not seasoned in God, I need you to check me, that's not seasoned in God, unfortunately, his outlet is going to be fleshly.
Emotional, absolutely.
It's gonna be emotional, and that outlet may be going to a strip club, maybe drinking, maybe smoking, or something, or in that area. Now, no time he don't do this, but you know, throughout the week, something frustrating. He said, you know what? I know I will not do this, but man, I need to go out with the boys. They gotta go. I gotta go out to the boys. I gotta go play ball or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with playing ball, but when you got a man play ball too many times out of the week, that's a whole other issue. That's not the show though. I'm not gonna address that right now. But my point of saying this is, you have to know, just like the woman of God said, timing. Every problem, every situation, you have to know, okay, if there's something I need to communicate with him that could possibly be interpreted wrong, let me definitely not do that when something already going on. It's already fire in the kitchen, but you finna add some more fire to it. You finna send an explosion, baby. So you have to use the wisdom of God with that. The other thing I want to add to that is that pray. Oh, my God, I think we take prayer out of everything. You know, I just got to say what I got to say, and I'm just real. I'm just straightforward, and he just can't handle it. No, you just don't know what to say. Can't win it.
There you go.
And he may know how to handle it. But I promise you, over the years with my husband, I promise you, I learned some hard lessons because I would go through. I'm a very straight point. I shoot straight from the hip. I had to learn that everything can't come straight from the hip like that to a man. It ain't. I can do that with you, sister, and you would take that. If I tell you, sister, oh, your dress, and I'll come straight at you about your dress, you appreciate that. You'd be like, oh, thank you, let me know. But you tell the man, why you wear that suit? Why that color like that? Oh, my goodness. You know, like, really? Because there's going to be another woman or somebody else going to look at that suit and say, oh, that look nice on you.
There you go.
Hello?
Wait.
Better wait on it, girl. You better wait on it. Okay, so we talked about why being honest injure my husband. We talked about why doesn't he get it. We got that part, and how do we repair? And let me go back to how do we repair the injuries. Just like the woman of God, she said it well. Time heals some wounds. The other thing, once you say you're sorry, you go on about your business, don't walk in condemnation, don't walk in that. But the other thing is that you could pray to God for some healing for your husband. There is a license that we carry that a girlfriend, we talked about this before, that a girlfriend don't have. Amen. There's an authority that we walk in. I need you to check me. There's an authority that we walk in that a mama don't walk in. A cousin don't walk in. A auntie don't walk in. I don't care what other woman in his life, they cannot walk in authority as a wife.
Amen.
And as a wife, when a wife prays for her husband, oh my. Oh my. Mm-hmm. You finna set up some stuff, baby. But if you don't understand the power of prayer, if you don't understand the power of your influence, if you don't understand and you don't have a personal relationship with God that have grown you to a certain place, you won't have there's no benefit for you for praying because you don't understand the power of a praying wife. You don't understand for a powerful woman that prays and stands the gap for her family. Yeah, chaos is going on. Hell is breaking loose all around you. But it could be worse. I know for a fact. What me and my husband dealing with right now, we're dealing with some tight situations. But I know for a fact, because I'm on the wall, it could be so much worse.
My God, it could be so much worse.
God is holding us up in the midst of this because I'm on the wall and he's on the wall. You know what I'm saying? So I know, I said, God, I know he hear my prayers. Yeah, I wish this wasn't happening and didn't happen or whatever. But I know, God, it could be so much worse. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that it's not worse. I thank God it's getting better. I already see better before better comes. So you got to understand the power of your prayer. So, and then we also ask the question, how can I better communicate with my husband about my feelings? That is so important. You got to understand that you got to seek different ways and how to communicate with your husband. You can't not communicate your husband the way. And then there's some of you that don't communicate at all, that you don't open up, you just shut down. Because I get a lot of that too. Women just shut down. Well, I'm not going to say nothing because he don't know how to handle it. So you don't say nothing at all. That's just as worse. That is just as worse than open your mouth and just tear him down. When you just shut down, because you got to be careful the seeds that we sow in our marriages, and we sow these bad seeds, and then 2 years or 5 years or maybe 2 months down the road, you see this harvest, and that's a seed that you sown 2 months ago. Now you get the harvest from where the seed is sown. So you got to be very careful with that. Now, Minister Switzer, we want to go ahead because we have 10 more minutes, no, 15 more minutes, and we want to go through these little points. The seven deadly ways, and we're not going to stay on these things long because we talked about a lot, and a lot of them came out in our discussion. So the seven deadly ways that wives injure their husbands without knowing them. Number one, I have put him down in front of other people. Put him down. This is a resource on a website I received. I got some points on each one of them. Putting him down in front of other people. We already know, and I know y'all got some wise women. I hope so. I know you're not putting him down in front of other people. But one of the points I see that we don't address quickly. I hear pastors even talk about this. Don't never put your husband down in front of people. But I want to talk about the behind the scenes stuff. Don't never put your husband down in front of your children. Mm-hmm. Or to your children, because we won't do it in front of them, but we'll go behind their back and actually literally put them down, especially with blended families. I want to talk to my blended families, mothers out there. There's some mothers out there that you're a blended family. That means those children does not belong to your husband, and they maybe may like them, may love them, and may not. But when he does something wrong or don't get it right or don't do it the way you expect him to do it, you go to your children and talk about him to your children. That is a no-no. That is a big N-O. A big N-O. Because, for one, there's several things that you're doing when you do that. Not only are you pulling him down and you're hurting him, but you also are throwing bad seeds in those children's life. So when it comes down, when he disciplines them or corrects them, guess what? In the back of their mind. They remember what mommy said. They remember what mommy did. You can't do that. And the next thing is also you're teaching them, especially if you're going to a daughter, you're teaching her how to talk to her husband and talk about her husband. So you don't want to do that. Lady Swinson, do you have something for that one?
Oh, you hit it right on it. But also just in public, you know, humiliation alone is a big no-no. And men don't deal with humiliation well. We don't deal with it well. But men totally don't deal with humiliation well. So I would say that even in communicating, you could be in a public setting or in a conversation with other couples or other people, and he's talking. To cut him off and to just take over the conversation, that's a big no-no. You have to allow them time to just you have to allow them time to finish, and I know that because I've done it, and we've come home, and he said, well, baby, this is what I do. You got to let me finish talking. You can't finish my thoughts. You can't finish my, you know, so just, you know, even in that, you don't put him down in front of people, even in that, because that could humiliate him.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
You make them feel like they don't know what they're talking about, you know, so it can add a lot of stuff.
Stupid or dumb, yeah. Or that is stupid. And it's nothing like when a wife does it to their husband, and you don't see your husband. I have witnessed this in some ladies in my ministry, and their husband talking and just over talking, and I'm looking at his face, and I'm looking at her, and I kind of like look at her like with my eyes. I'm talking with her with my face expression. I need you to shut up. I need you to stop, because you really just shut your husband down, and you're tearing him up on the inside. Oh, my God, it's nothing like when I put my hands on a husband and I can feel his emotions, and he's like, she just killed me. She just killed me.
There you go. There you go.
We can kill a husband. Just as much as we can build him up, we can kill him too. We can kill him.
Yes,
okay, so we got that point. So putting a husband down in front of people in the public, that's a big no-no. Talking to your children about your husband, that's a big no-no. About him, in front of him, that's a big no-no. You never want to do that. This is one of the deadly things that wives do to their husbands, and we kill them. We kill their spirit. They feel like they don't have a voice in their house. They feel like that you're going to tag them out. You're going to jump on them. You're going to, like a meat truck. You're going to jump on every word that he says, or he may not say it back in the right way that you would say in public, so you feel like you got to correct him. That is a big no-no. Don't do that. That could really hurt him. And if you feel like, me and my husband got this thing where, and we've been doing it for years, if we preaching, we counseling, or something like that, we have already, because we know each other, we already have this agreement. Well, if it's something you said or something you do that's not good or that don't make look right, I tell you right when I get home. And when I come home, I got an honest moment. We call it honest moment. I have an honest moment. He said, "What's your honest moment?" I said, "Okay, when you said that, that didn't sound right."
Mm-hmm.
We have an honest. We call it the honest moment. So we already talk about it. You know what this looked like. Our honest moment. I would never come at him, you know, left field. We already kind of, you know, did the guidelines what an honest moment looks like. And so
right.
I don't come him arguing, fussy or nothing like that. And he don't come to me. He said, "Okay, babe, I got an honest moment." I said, "Ooh, what I did." He said, "When you said this, that didn't sound right." So you need to come up with your husband a creative way, how you
Absolutely.
Communicate when you got to share something with him, because they don't. Sometimes they don't communicate certain things in public the right way. But you shutting him down and correcting him or over-talking him don't look good either.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look
Absolutely.
Good. The next point is go behind him. When he tries to do something, going behind him when he tries to do something, that's a big no-no. I said this all the time. I said sometimes you just got to let it drop.
There
you
got
to let it drop. Whatever it is, you got to let it drop sometimes, because keep going behind him. You know he's supposed to do that, or you talked about it, he agreed to do it, and he did not do it, so you go behind his back and do it. That's a big no-no. And, yes, they may move slow. And you know what? What if my lights are turned off? They get turned off.
Then you go and try
I'm
to figure out what you
do
need to do to get them back on.
Yes, because there's some things for a man to really understand the importance of timing. They got to feel the pressure. But if they don't, I'm not talking about the pressure from you. I am not talking about the pressure from you. I'm talking about the pressure of not being responsible and doing that in a timely manner. Been there, done that. My husband, he take his time doing certain things. I understand his makeup. I'm fast-paced. I think fast. I think quick.
Amen.
I'm real quick on my feet. My husband is not like that. He's smooth. The baby got jazz. He good like that. Okay, I got that. I learned how to put him in the jazz category. So I said, okay, he's going to jazz that up right now. It's going to take him about 2 days to do that right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sister, but I had to learn how to look at things in a more positive way versus looking at a wife like, look at him. It took him 5 days to do that. Don't make no sense. It took me two hours to do it. It took him 5 days. That's the wrong mindset to think like that. So going behind him, and then you talk to your husband about it. Me and my husband, we talk about a lot of stuff. I said, honey, you know, you're very smooth with your stunts, you know, and it takes you a long time to do. And we'll talk about it. I said, now, how would you want me to handle that when something really needs to be done in a timely way, and I feel like you're taking your time, and I feel like we're going to suffer behind you taking your time. And he told me, he said, I got it. I said, okay. All right, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I addressed it to him. I put it out there. He said, I may only do it the time you want me to do it, but I'm going to catch it. I said, okay. And so when he don't catch it, I let it drop.
There you go. There you go.
I let it drop. So what do you have? Do you have anything for that, sis?
I do. Just let it, like you said, let it drop. You know, give them credit for at least doing it. Like you said, maybe they didn't do it in our time. Maybe they didn't do it when we asked them to do it. But 9 times out of 10, they're going to get it done. Like you said, they're a little slower at doing things. We're fast on our feet. We like to do things right now. We don't like to procrastinate a lot of times. But they're different.
Uh-huh.
Their makeup is different. So just give them that time and give them credit for doing it. Even if it wasn't done exactly the way you would have done it, and a lot of times
uh-huh.
that's what we're looking at. It's not going to be
uh-huh.
done the way we would have done it because they're different. But at least give them credit for doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. The next one is point number 2, 3, consistently nagging him. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, this is one of the biggest things. I don't know why we do this. I don't know why we nag and nag and nag and nag. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. You going to do it? You going to do it? Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? What's going on? What you going to do? And then we rephrase the question, but it's still nagging.
Exactly.
We rephrase the question, but we still nagging. This is what I have right here. I said Proverbs 31:26 says this. When she speaks, her words are wise. When she speaks, her words are wise as she gives instructions and kindness. With kindness. So if you're not doing this and you're nagging him, when she speaks, her words are wise. That means she thought about what she's going to say. She thought about the timing. And she gives instructions with kindness. So when she talks, and she's asking her husband to do something or reminding him of something, she's not saying, well, honey, you ain't did that yet? Well, how long is it going to take you to do it? Well, baby, I could have did that yesterday. That's not wise.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not wise. It's not wisdom. The next thing is Proverbs 21:9. It said, it is better. Now, this is a warning for you. I need you to check this. I need you to hear this. The Bible said it is better to live alone in a corner on a rooftop.
That's the one I had.
On a rooftop, then with a quarreling wife in a lonely house. A quarreling wife is a nagging wife.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said it is best to be on a rooftop with the birds than being with a nagging wife, lonely wife, a wife in a lonely house. That's the NIV version. So, in other words, baby, and I said this all the time, and I try not to do it myself, and I don't. I have learned to master not to nag my husband. I learned how to master not to nag my husband even with my mannerism, because I was nagging him with my mannerism, too.
Ooh.
So, you're like, Pastor, how you do that? Easy. I ain't saying nothing, but my body movements, I'm slamming doors, I'm walking around, stumping, frown on my face and everything. I was nagging him with my expressions. I was nagging the man. I was, ooh, Lord,
and they see
him. Yeah, yeah, and they see him. Go ahead, sis, what you got for it?
The same exact thing. Nagging can be detrimental. It could be so detrimental. And if you listen to the scripture that you use, and you said it's better to be on the rooftop than in a house, a lonely house. house can become very lonely. Your husband can be right there with you. But it can still be very lonely because now we have nothing to say to each other. We done nagged him to the point where he is silent. He has nothing else to say. So we have to be very careful that we don't push him into a corner that he has nothing else to say. He rather, you know, he might be there, but his mind all the way on the other side of town, you know.
Yeah.
So we
got
to be very careful that our nagging don't send him running into the arms of another woman or running outside the house into dangerous fires, you know, bad things that he may have experienced or done in his past, you know, revert back to drugs or alcohol or hanging out with the boys.
Yeah.
We got to be very careful. We don't want to do that.
Right. And we're going to try to speed this up. So the next one is withholding physical affection. Withholding physical affection. Men crave for affection. Let me tell you something. Women, woo, Lord Jesus, they crave for it. I truly believe that we can go without sex for a period of time, but men cannot. They will not. They cannot. Mm-hmm. And this is a topic that we're going to talk about, and I think our next segment about sex. All of it going to be about sex. Uh-huh. Yes, we are. We're going to go there. But right now we're talking about the danger, the deadly ways that we injure our husbands. Men are affectionate. But, you know, the thing about it is I learned some things because I used to be a hot peak pot. I mean, I was a hot pot. But I ain't a hot pot no more. You know, that changed, over some years ago. But at the same time, but I realized I love the affection towards my husband. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I do ministry, business. You know, being a mama, being a mentor, being a pastor's wife and all that kind of stuff, it comes with a lot of responsibilities. And with coming in a lot of responsibilities, I realize that, you know, sometimes I don't have the energy. But I make myself that energy. No. We would not go liking. We may not do it every day like you want to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got some brothers who would go every day. Hello, somebody. Woo! I don't care what they deal with. That don't sleep. You hear what I say? That don't go to sleep. But my point is this. I need you to hear me. There's something happens when a man and a woman get together. There's something happening when we get together with our husbands. And when they don't get together with us and they don't able to feel us, and I need you not to take it to another level, but they don't feel us, if something happened in the spirit realm also for him also. So when he don't get us, he don't feel us, and they don't sense us, there's something he's been attacked. And you never want, because the enemy's going to be attacking his mind and his physical being anyway. But when it get down to, you know, he meets you, it's not the so much the situation or the sex part. Oh, he just got to have it. He wants you.
Amen.
You should be happy he wants you.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
You got some wives, husbands don't want him. But he wants you. He wants to be with you. He wants to make love to you. Don't prize him from that. And especially, definitely not when something's wrong. I give it to you even more when something's wrong, because I need you to know I don't need the enemy playing with you. I don't need the enemy playing with you when you get on your computer. I don't need the enemy playing with you when you go to work, when you have a business meeting. And you know this person come to the meeting half dressed. Come on here, somebody.
You
hear what I'm saying? So you have you come on. You know, especially with pastor wives, that's a whole other story back there. You get all kinds of women, and, you know, they got all kinds of different attentions and all kinds of stuff. You got to use wisdom. So don't apply your husband from physical affection, because he needs that. He needs it from you. Lady Swenson, what you got?
Well, I'm going to take a scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:5 say, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. It says, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So that says that we don't have control over our bodies, and we should never deprive our husband, because it leaves a door open for Satan to give, to suggest things and lead him into areas of temptations. And we don't want to do that. We absolutely don't want to do that. So I've learned from past experiences that you just don't do that. And also, Pastor Teresa, when you deprive your husband, stress builds up. And I believe that when you are intimate with your husband, that is another stress reliever for him. It relieves stress. It gets a lot of pressure build up off of him. So if you know that your husband is dealing with some stress, take him in there and rub him real good, you know, and tend to those needs. And I promise you, he'll be able to manage and deal with the stress a little better. He'll have his mind will be clearer, that he can, you know, sit back and meditate on ways of how to deal with whatever's bothering him. So, you know, we have ways. We have power, you know. So use it. Use it to your advantage and not your disadvantage.
Absolutely. And it's amazing that God gave us that. And I tell the wives all the time, this is an opportunity to renew your relationship. I try to renew my relationship 2-3 times a week if the body permits itself. I try to meet that mark. I always meet it 2 times a week, most definitely. But am I putting my business out there? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay,
it's
I do it every day. No, I'm just playing. But on a serious note, you got to be mindful, like the woman God said. The enemy is out there. He's sneaky. He's not. You know what? The sad thing about it, he used the same trick that he's been using the Bible.
Absolutely.
And then what's so awesome about it, that we have the Bible as our tool. You know, we can dissect the Bible and get so many principles from it and then learn and learn from it. But we think we got this new age stuff. Come on here, somebody. Baby, there's nothing new up under the sun. That was written in the Bible. It's already there. You don't need the world to tell you how to treat your husband. You don't need carnal-minded women to tell you to wrap around on the pole. That's a whole other subject. Because some of the stuff that we're doing are bringing in our bedroom. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. Okay. I was a stripper, and I used to dance a pole. I'm not bringing a pole in my bedroom. I'm not bringing that memory back in my bedroom. So that's a whole nother subject. I'm not going there. Okay, the next one is hold him responsible for your emotional well-being. I don't want to stay here long because we kind of talked about this a little bit, but we women, this is a danger. This is an injury towards your husband that goes without you knowing it. Don't hold him responsible for your injury, your emotional well-being. You are responsible for that. And the ultimate
Absolutely.
Person that can heal you is our Father. He's the only person. Even if your husband did something wrong, yes, he's got to rebuild the trust in you, but he is not responsible for your emotional well-being. Now, if he's physically or mentally and spiritually abusing you, that's something totally different. I got you on that. There's some things you may have to do. You need to get some wise counsel on that. But my point of saying is that a lot of times, wives, we hold our husband responsible to make us happy in every area in our lives, but that's not his responsibility, and we're putting too much pressure on him. He can't now go back and do what your daddy did or undo what your daddy didn't do. He can't do
Absolutely.
That. He can't go back and heal from all those wounds what those men, those prior relationships did to you. He can't do that. So don't hold him responsible for something that he did not do. Do you hear what I'm saying? And even if he have done something, once you have decided in your mind and in your heart that you're going to give your marriage another chance and you're going to forgive him and you went to the Lord and say, you know, forgive him, you got to forgive him for real. Now, it's going to take time. My husband said this all the time. It's instant to forgive, okay? But it takes time to rebuild trust. Now, rebuilding
Absolutely.
Trust, it takes another process to do that. But we still should not be holding our husband responsible for our emotion, where it's just unhealthy to give that type of responsibility to another human being when they're emotional themselves.
Amen.
It's just not healthy. Go ahead, sis.
Amen. I just totally agree. I don't have a whole lot to add to that. You said it in a nutshell that is not their responsibility. It's for us to take it to God, the one that
That's
made
right.
us, the one that knows everything about us, and the one
mm-hmm.
that has all power to help us get to the healing that we need. It's not his responsibility at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the next one is complain about what you don't have or get to do. This is another area I truly believe that goes unmentioned. Sometimes we complain about, oh, I'm not able to do this, I can't get my nails done. Oh, I guess I can't get my things done this week. Oh, I want to get this, but I can't do it. Do understand, husbands are, again, they are problem solvers. And mostly any husband wants to give their wife and their children the world. Us repeating and saying stuff to them, around them, for them to hear it, is not going to work. All it does is put more injury,
more pressure
towards the wounds. Yes, more pressure, because he's going to be thinking, and what can I do? And I can tell you, my husband, I thank God, I love my husband. My husband, God has done a work in this man over these years. I promise you, the first 3 years in our marriage was a strong, hard time. But I promise you, this man runs after God like none other, and I can only
mm-hmm.
say, I only can tell you what I witnessed. I know he goes through his struggles. He don't make no shame about that, and he talks about it, and he's transparent. But he never let me feel that. I don't
mm-hmm.
feel it. I know it because I'm his wife, because I pray and I ask God to speak to me. So as his wife, I know how to come in prayer. But when it comes down that he just get distance and all this other stuff, I don't go through that. I don't go through a lot of that stuff that some women go through. I did in the beginning. I did. But
right.
my husband allowed God to heal him in places that I could definitely not do, and definitely he could not do for himself. So he went to God for himself. He said, God, I need you to heal me these places. And then a place that he have that they're still getting healed, he learned how to be disciplined so I don't feel the weight. So in other words, I don't complain about, like, the situation, you know, financially, certain things, we are real tired and all this kind of stuff that we have gone through and go through. I don't constantly talk about it. I don't constantly talk about our problems. What I do is I say, you know, we got this. God got us. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And even though I have to keep saying it, so I really believe it. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it to be true. But our faith do get attacked. Our faith, for your faith to get built, you have to have a reason to have faith. I need you to check.
Amen.
For your faith to be built, you have to have a reason to have faith. So for me to have faith in the situation, that means that the situation got to look hopeless. It has to look hopeless for me to have faith in it. Do you hear? I had to have faith in knowing that God is going to work it out. So complaining about things you have or don't have or what you want to your husband, it just don't, it don't benefit nobody. It don't benefit you. It does, definitely don't benefit your husband. It doesn't benefit your children, because the only thing you're doing is rehearsing the problem, and the only thing you do is keep peeling off the scale off that wound when it try to get healed, and here you go, it's pulling off the scale again. Lady Swenson.
Well, I just want to add, Teresa, Pastor Teresa, real quickly, that first of all, we don't start complaining about what we have or don't have until we see somebody else with it.
Now,
so the Bible says it's unwise for us to compare ourselves one to another. So for one, mm-hmm. that's there. And then the second one is we have to learn how to be content in whatever state we're in. My family may not have the income that somebody else's family has. So then for me to put the pressure on my husband to add up to what they have, No. That's a big no. So we gotta we gotta be wise in being content in whatever state we're in, financially, physically, emotionally. We gotta find ourselves being content and not add the pressure on our mates to add up to somebody else. That's not good.
Yeah.
And the Bible says it's just not wise. So we just don't want to add that pressure, because he's already feeling the pressure of being the provider. And then to know that he don't have enough, he already feeling that. So then for you to complain about it, only put more pressure on him. So wise women we don't complain. We help find resolutions to the problem.
That's true, absolutely. And other thing too, I want to touch this while I'm here. That you know, you may don't want to work. You say, you know, I don't want to work. My dream is to be home, but this may not be the season right now.
Absolutely.
Don't add that pressure onto your husband when you know when y'all got married, you both was working. And sometimes we got to do what we got to do. And that maybe that's something you want to do. But if you really want that to be your story, your life, then y'all need to sow into that. That means you need to prepare for that. And how did you prepare? You go to work for so many years. You save up money. You do what you got to do. And prepare for you staying home. You want more kids, and it's going to require you to be home. The more kids you get, more close, the more you want to be home. Well, you need to prepare for that. I think that's
absolutely
the difference between Caucasians and African Americans. We plan, we don't. We go, oops, oh, there it is. You know what I'm saying?
There
so,
you, go.
You know, and then we want to pray, oh, God, work it out, Lord. Work it out, Jesus, work it out. Okay, he said. Okay, all right. You cutting up today. You cutting up. Next, last but not least. The last deadly seven is, don't appreciate his effort. That is a deadly injury. Seven injuries are one of the sevens that you can do to your husband, that you could bring injury to your husband when you don't appreciate his effort. When he tries, when he communicates you and he's just trying to get it out, and you just, my husband tells my church all the time, our church, that my wife used to have this issue that, because I talk fast and it's very obvious, and I mess up some words too, talking fast too, but my husband talks kind of slow, you know, and he let us think it out. I'm like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, you know, I'll be, my face be looking like, come on, get it out. I don't do it no more, sister. I've been delivered. Stop it, Lady Swenson. Stop it, girl.
You're
I can't deal with you. You are cutting up real bad. So, what I was saying, he told the church, he said my wife had, and it used to bother him, but he came to me first before he announced to the church, this is a while back, and we were talking, and he was telling me, I said, what is one thing, what are some of the things that bother you that I do? And he told me that, and I didn't even know to what level.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know to what level that bothers him. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
he told me, I'm like, are you serious? He said, that really bothers me. That really bothers me when you do that. He said, I'll be trying to explain how I feel, and you just like rushing me to get to that point, and I don't talk as fast as you. I don't, you know, I'll be trying to make sure I think it through. And all I saw is the pain in his eyes. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And I see that in other women. I said, don't do that to your husband. Let him, I don't care if it takes him 2 hours to get it out. Let him get it out. Don't
treat
him like that. You're tearing him up. Don't hurt him. I said, don't do what I did. And so one thing to recon back on that, Lady Swenson, what I did was now I train myself. Literally, this is how I train myself. I would go in my car on my way to the grocery store, on my way to certain things. I'm by myself. I train myself how to sit straight up and look at the mirror and really show that I'm very interested in what you're saying. And I control my emotions, my facial expressions, my hands. I had to put my hands there on wheel to make it stay still.
That's good.
I did that for 3 months. I did it for 3 months, and it worked. And I trained myself. I said, you know what? I wanted to do this because I didn't want to hurt my husband. I could have had that kind of mindset. I don't care. I could have had that kind of mindset and say, I don't care. But I do care. I care about what hurts him. I care about what I do to him. So if I care about him, I'm going to do what is necessary to train myself not to do the very thing that hurts him. So you say,
amen.
Well, this is how I've been. I've been like this for a long time. What, baby, discipline yourself. Train yourself. You love your husband. Love yourself. Love your husband enough to do what's necessary to make sure you're not hurting him. Because you're hurting
him.
Don't think you're not. You are hurting your husband when you do stuff. So if he's trying and it seems like he don't try enough for you, and when he try to measure himself with you, and he measure himself with you, how you do stuff, that's going to kill him. Appreciate what he can do and how he does it, and it may not meet your standards. It may not meet how you do stuff, but you are not God. Move yourself out of the way. Because you're killing your husband, ladies.
I would just say, let him try. Always let him try. And like Pastor Teresa just said, that, you know, he may not add up. It may not add up to the way we do it or how we expected it to be done. But at least let him try. You know, give him the benefit of the doubt. At least he's trying. At least he's doing it. You know, you have somebody there that'll, you know, put their hand up and say, man, bump that. I'm not doing it. But if your husband is trying, appreciate his effort for trying, you know, and let him do that. And also, she was saying, come up with ways that you can deal with you know, how you respond to the things that aggravate you. You know, if he's too slow, if he didn't do it the way you wanted it done, you know, come up with, you know, ways that you can better yourself in those areas, because eye contact, body language, and all of that stuff, it means something to them. And they are watching.
Yeah.
Because my husband would quickly say, I know you're not listening, you're looking all out the window, you know, and it's different little things that they notice. I'm telling you, they notice it. Oh, I saw your face. They notice it. So you got to practice not giving those emotional faces and not looking all out the window when he's talking. Now I've learned to look at my husband when he's talking. You know, that gives him, you know, that says that, you know, she's listening. She's attentive. And even though I may not always agree, he will never know the way I'm looking. So, you know, we just got to come up with little ways that we appreciate their efforts. And
amen.
That helps build their self-esteem.
Yes, and you know, and two, when it's nothing like when your husband and when you know your husband got your back and he knows you got his.
Absolutely.
He knows that he can run home and feel safe at home. He knows he can run home and feel safe in your arms. You know, you got to train yourself. And I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna close out. I remember I was not always been an affectionate person. Who you hear see today that always calls sweetie, honey, oh, my husband walk in the room, and I just stop. I say, oh, Lord, wait a minute, put some bull in it. My husband just walked in the room. I ain't always been that way. I ain't always been a huggy type to my children. I was very close. I was very strong. I didn't know that children need those type of touches and emotional contact. I didn't know that. I wasn't brought up like that. And then the touches I did was inappropriate. So I just didn't touch at all. And then when I did touch men, I had a reason for it. So I didn't know how to do all that. So I learned throughout the years with my children how I discipline myself. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I know that I'm missing something. I need to maybe give my children, you know, I didn't like them to kiss me, hug me too long. I give them 2 seconds of hugs and go on about your business. Now, that's too much of that. That's too much of all that. But I learned something. And I watched my oldest daughter, you know, she kind of almost carried some of those traits, but she broke it. And she made herself. She opened herself. She's an awesome mother. She's an awesome wife. I'm so proud of her. And she overcame a lot of stuff that I did to her, because during her time when she was a child, I didn't have no emotions at all. Baby, I was off the chain. Oh, baby, I was so strong. I didn't cry. I would cuss you out. I was so strong. I didn't show no emotions. But when my baby girl came along, by that time I started learning how to do that, and then it was I still have some other issues, so God, thank you, Lord Jesus. He delivered me all. But my point is, when I got married, I had to train myself how to show my husband emotions. I thought he's supposed to give me all the attention. I had to learn how. I didn't even call him. I didn't know how to, oh, girl, I didn't call no man. They called me. What? Who? I ain't calling you. You got to call me. So I had to train myself how to call him on his lunch break, when I got on my lunch break. And I felt like that was so, I don't do that. But I trained myself. You have to do what's necessary to train yourself to be the wife that you need to be. You need to do what's necessary to train yourself to do what you need to do to be a mother, to be a complete woman. And it's out there. But you got these, now you got these outlets that we do now. I didn't have the, this. I didn't know nothing about an online talk show. I didn't see that in the public. I did not see first ladies act like this and stuff like that. I saw them more rigid. They was more stern. They're fussy. So I didn't know that stuff. But now you have the opportunity to learn from our mistakes, from Lady Swenson and myself, and we're not the only ones. There's more women out there. I celebrate my sisters out there, my sisters, my peers that's out there doing stuff, think of creative ways how to reach women to make us better. I thank God for that. We're not the only people, Lady Swenson, that God
Amen.
Has put something in our spirit to build women up and to encourage women to be all what they have to be. So what I'm saying is that you, right now you got so many outlets or resources out there that you can find out how to. You know, they got a book for dummies, for all kinds of dummies. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. I'm serious. A lot of stuff out there, Lady Swenson, that wasn't out there when we was actually getting developed to be wives. And I've been married 14. How long been married? 14 years. 14 years. You've been married how long? 20-something.
25 years.
And girl, you go way back to me. So what I'm saying is that some things was not just so easy and accessible for us to get to. Like these women now, they have so many outlets and so many resources to get these stuff, to put these tools into their spirit so they can be better wives. Today
Amen.
We talked about the 7 deadly ways wives injure their husbands without knowing it. I pray that this was a blessing to you. I pray that the wisdom of God, the scriptures, the testimonies, the experience, the practical wisdom that we was able to give to you today, that you take this and apply it to your life. I pray that you're going to God constantly and on a consistent basis, going before God, praying about you first, not your husband, but you. Because where there may be a husband that's out there that's not giving you what you need, there's a wife that could be meeting his needs and going before God, making sure you're meeting God's needs. And God will meet your needs. I am a truly living testimony, and I know my sister, Lady Swenson, is a testimony of what God will do if you're seeking his face in your marriage.
Amen.
We pray
Amen.
Wholeness in your marriage. We pray a big a wealth increase of love and patience and joy, long-suffering, self-control in your marriage, because we want to see your marriage grow to the level that God wants it to be. We want to see your marriage last. We want to see your marriage be healthy. We don't want you just to be married. We want you to be married
Amen.
Healthy. You hear that thing? That's our desire for you today. And so we thank you for tuning in. This has been Share Talk online. This has been Share Talk. I thank all the listeners and all the ones that have been viewed. The live was covered. I can't even tell you how many people were on there, Lady Swenson, because it was just popping like hotcakes.
Awesome.
And then I thank God for all the Facebook fans and the Twitter. We thank God for you. Our next segment will be next Monday right here on Share Talk at 6:30, and we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to be dealing with some hot topic next week, and I pray that you meet me back here. Lady Swenson got a conference that's coming up, and I need you to go to my Facebook wall, go to her Facebook wall, and I'm going to repost it. But Lady Swenson, I want you to take this last minute to talk about your conference that's coming up.
Okay, August 7th and 8th, we will be having a women's conference at Calvary's Way Ministries. The topic that the Lord had laid on my heart is a cry of desperation. And it's wailing women. And if you go to Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, I want you to read it because it talks about how the enemy is coming in our windows and coming into our homes and robbing us of our marriages, our children, and, you know, all of these things, and how God called, told Jeremiah to call for the wailing women, the women that will get on their face and cry out before God. And our nation, our families, our children are in trouble, and this is a time and a season that God is calling us back to prayer. So I want all of you to meet us there on August 7th and 8th. We're going to be crying out and praying for everything, for so many things. So I thank you, Pastor Burton, for even bringing it up on your show tonight. But we're looking for a great move of God. We have some powerful speakers. So go and look at the Facebook post and look at the speakers and the topics, and we'll go from there. But I'm excited about what God is going to be doing.
And I'm excited, too. And I will have probably next week, I will have like an audio commercial about the conference, because I do support my sister. She's a powerful woman of God. And it's amazing that you talk about the Wailing Women, because there is a Wailing Women prayer conference, a prayer meet that we're going to be having on July 25th, I'm sorry, that's from All People International, different churches, not just one place. We have like 39 churches have signed up, and they're going to be opening their doors from 9 to 10, and all we're going to do is well out, and that's Wailing Women praying for an hour all over the city of Jacksonville. And that thing that was birthed out through my covering, Pastor Sharon Jones, and she's going to be doing that the July the 25th, but there's so many churches that's partnering with us, and so you can go to, and during that time, you can go to that church. I'm going to post that. It should be already on Facebook. I'm not sure. I did a flyer, so I think it should be on Facebook. But I'm going to make sure I re-put that out there. Don't forget to support Lady Swenson and her conference. Thank you. God bless you. And remember, the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. God bless you, guys. God bless you, guys.
You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at teresaburtonministry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.